This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 relies on the support of our members to remain on air.
We also understand the importance of not-for-profit organisations that offer essential support services for many.
If you're a part of a community organisation, you can help support Joy while Joy supports you with a Joy organisation membership. You'll receive a 15-second spot thanking you for your support that will play on air every week for a year, valued at $1,800.
Plus, a 15% discount on a full Joy sponsorship package.
For more info, head to joy.org.au/members.
Hey guys! Gendered language is everywhere, but it can have the effect of excluding people. It's easy to avoid using gendered language. Instead of hey guys, you might say hey folks, or hey gang, or why hello all you fabulous things. Using inclusive language is an easy way to increase the awesome in the world. Want to learn more? Check out Joy's inclusion and diversity training. Visit joy.org.au/services.
Melbourne's most lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
There you are, Macca here, spreading the love. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. My next guest is Josh Burns, the Labor member for the federal seat of McNamara. Good morning, Josh.
Macca, it's always a pleasure to be back here.
It's good to be back on air, and I want to thank the assistants you channeled for us through the federal cybersecurity agencies to get Joy back on air. Thank you for that, for stepping in. This week in politics, Josh, First off, how does it feel to be sitting on the government benches rather than the opposition benches?
It's much better, Macca. It's much better, Macca. But look.
Number 76, because you were number 76.
Yeah, yeah. I was. Not that that was a stressful thing or anything like
that.
Oh,
no.
No. I think Dean would say this as well. You know, we are not members of debating societies. We are members of organisations that seek to govern our country because we believe in reform and we believe in good government and we want to try and do everything we can for our country. And it's very, very difficult to do that from opposition. You really need to do it from government. And I think we're seeing already with some of the things that government has done, the power of government and the importance of some of the institutions. In our first week of Parliament, Macca, we passed some really important laws, including recommendations to the Aged Care Royal Commission,
yes,
implementing some of our policies like 24-hour nurses in our aged care facilities, which is a really ambitious policy, one that's going to require a lot of work that Minister Wells is doing, but it's a really important one. Things like 10 days domestic and family violence leave.
Yeah.
And, of course, our climate change bill has passed through the House of Representatives. And I think that the Parliament really, certainly from my perspective, feels like it's got a new energy and it's got a new purpose. And I think it was time for a change. And I'm really proud that we've made a strong start and there's a lot of work to do.
How does it feel in the Parliament with that huge crossbench? You know, that we're elected on a number of issues that were very important, climate, integrity, equality. How does it feel seeing them sitting there and knowing that a lot of the government's agenda and their agenda is shared? How does that feel?
Look, the Parliament's definitely different to what it was last term, and I think that not just because of the crossbench, when you actually look at the Labor Party caucus, it's far more representative of the communities and of the country. We have a wonderful representation from different multicultural communities. We're basically 50-50 men and women. We have a real range of backgrounds, experience, diversity, and I think that makes the Parliament stronger. And I'd include the independents as part of that, in that I do think that different voices and different inputs, providing it's done in a constructive way, is really important. And I think that the contributions of the independents can't be underestimated when it comes to the passage of the climate bill. I think that they were constructive. They were looking to get a bill passed. They wanted to prove to the electorate that there was progress and that there was something happening in the Parliament. And it meant that sort of some of the dances that the Greens were doing on the side became a little bit theatrical, because really you had a demonstration of what adults were doing and trying to get something done. And the Greens, I think, had a limited scope for their sort of theatrics. So which is good, because then the Greens ended up coming on board and were a critical part of getting this thing passed. And credit to them for voting for the bill. So, I think the Parliament is different, and I think it's made a really strong start, but that doesn't mean that, we've got to hold this for the whole term and beyond, and not just for 2 weeks.
So, as I was speaking to Dean about the revelations about the Minister for Everything, Scott Morrison, were you shocked? I mean, I think we're all shocked, but, what was your first thought apart from WTF?
I mean, there was a bit of WTF in there, Macca. I think the thing with...
What would Jen think?
I don't know, and I don't profess to know, but I think with all of these things, the problem that Scott Morrison got himself into wasn't just about what happened. The Prime Minister, as part of an executive government in Australia, can basically do anything. Mm. I mean, there are some laws that give specific powers to certain ministers, and that minister, is responsible for various decision making, and that's set out in the legislation. But ultimately, in cabinet, the Prime Minister is an extremely powerful voice. So already the Prime Minister has a huge amount of power. The real question here is, why did Scott Morrison feel that he didn't need to be forthright or forthcoming in the information, not only with his colleagues, but with the Australian people? Why did Scott Morrison say, I think there was only 3 portfolios, and then have...
He was busy.
Yeah, but how do you forget you're the Minister for Home Affairs? Well, this is a huge portfolio. How do you forget you're the Treasurer? He was the Treasurer, and so I don't really believe him that he did forget that he was the Minister for Home Affairs, nor do I believe him that he forgot that he was the Treasurer. So that led this sort of hunger from the media and from the country to go, well, hang on a second. If the guy's not telling the truth about this, what on earth isn't he telling the truth about next? And I think that the advice we're seeking from the Solicitor General, that hopefully will come back on Monday, will help inform a rational but firm response from the government. And it needs to be considered. These are serious matters. This is not a meme matter, like what the former Prime Minister is trying to make it. This is about the functioning of our democracy, and if he thought it was such a joke, then why has he been calling all of his former colleagues this week, apologising? It clearly is a serious matter.
The men first.
Well, he's gone through his list in ascending order or descending order, and he's made the calls to apologise, because what he did was serious. So, I think Dean's comments were really thoughtful and, difficult, no doubt, because this is, sometimes the hardest issues are when it's your own political organisation. But it is really important, Macca. It's really important that in this country, political institutions protect our democracy.
Yes.
And to have people in the Liberal Party raise concerns on behalf of the Liberal Party is actually really important in this moment.
In this space, yeah.
We're seeing around the world what the consequences are of political organisations undermining democracy and telling lies about democracy and telling lies about the legitimacy of democratic outcomes. And that cannot happen in Australia. And we need, it is absolutely essential that whatever the flavour of the government of the day, that our democracy is protected and upheld. And so I think comments like Dean's are really important, and I commend him for that. And the only other thing I'd say is that as a Labor person, my inclinations is always that the Governor-General should be involved in our democracy as little as possible, and they should be there as a figure, and as a function of our democracy, but not as an intervention in our democracy. And I think that there, you know, perhaps are questions that the Governor General's office should be answering. But
well, Dean's made a list already for
Dean's given them a heads up of some of the briefs to be writing for estimates.
You know, so what I say here is if you, you know, we can draw a parallel with Game of Thrones or all sorts of things. I think often politics is like a game of cards, perhaps poker.
Hmm.
What the Prime Minister was doing was dealing from the bottom of the pack,
yeah,
but also adding cards into the pack. He was cheating. And he wasn't honest with the people he was playing that game of cards with. He didn't tell them, oh, actually, you know, I'm your minister. What? It was interesting that Keith Pitt on Q&A this week said that Michael McCormack knew. The last interview I see with Michael McCormack, who, you know, he might like to think he's a bit of a roustabout, but he's actually a roundabout. He just goes round and round and round and round in circles. If he was a freelance journalist and paid by the word, he'd be very wealthy because he never says anything. He knew. He knew. Barnaby Joyce knew. Well, at some point. Yet no one thought the public should know. The people who actually pay, all of us who pay for you guys to be there, the Prime Minister, the previous Prime Minister, didn't think we should know. The two previous leaders of the National Party didn't think we should know. Christian Porter didn't think we should know. The Governor General thought it might have been nice if we'd known.
Mm.
No one told us.
The two things I'd say is that Barnaby actually gave an interview on RN where he said he did know about the resources portfolio, but he didn't know about the others, which does beg the question that when the Prime Minister, or former Prime Minister, was out of the country and Barnaby was the acting Prime Minister, that actually he was unaware of the legislative responsibilities that he was currently occupying and unaware of the briefs that he was actually responsible for. So that's very concerning. And I do think that the other part of this is, you know, like, Parliament matters.
Yeah.
Parliament matters. And I know that Dean has had a long commitment to the practices of the Senate. And, I mean, I don't really understand the Senate. Who knows what goes on up there? But it matters. And respect for our institutions matter. And when the Prime Minister comes into the Parliament and says, you know, here are the list of ministerial responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And for question time, here are the people who are responsible for the different portfolios. So you can ask questions of the government. That's not just for the 2 o'clock ABC or Sky show. That's because it's a part of our democracy. It matters because question time is a part of our democracy. And it matters because the parliament is there to function as a way of holding government to account and a way of government to function as well. And if the Prime Minister's saying, here are the list of ministers, and here's a list of ministerial responsibility, but actually not telling the truth about the documents that are being presented to the Parliament, to the House of Representatives and the Senate, then that is misleading the Parliament and showing a great disrespect for our Parliament. So I think the advice that we're going to receive on Monday is crucial, and we'll take it from there.
On the 14th of March, 2020... Scott Morrison was was appointed to administer the Department of Health by the Governor-General. On the 19th of March, the Ruby Princess docked. And the Prime Minister said at the time, look, there is a bit of confusion about who's responsible for this.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
Is it the New South Wales government? Is it the federal government? Federal government control the borders. And the Federal Biosecurity Act would have allowed them to stop that ship docking. Well, Mr. Morrison, you were Health Minister at the time. Don't forget that.
Noted, Macca. I mean, look, at this whole, you're right, there are so many examples of the chain of command that there are real questions to be answered for. And, yeah, I mean, I think ultimately this is a question of why did the Prime Minister try and keep this secret? And then what else don't we know? And there are parts, even today, as Dean referred to, there are parts of this story that are still being unravelled, and who knows what comes next. But I do think it's important for our democracy that we get to the bottom of it, And then it's up to the Liberal Party to work out also what the consequences are. And as I said before, having people like Dean Smith standing up for our institutions is commendable. And it's especially harder when it's easy for me because it's not my team at the moment. But for Dean to be able to stand up and do it is not just for the party, but also for the country as well.
And for the benefit of our listeners, everyone in the studio today, I've appointed them all as president of Joy.
Secretly.
So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 other new presidents of Joy, but don't tell anyone. Mm. Okay? We mustn't tell anyone. It's a joke.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.